Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast from the International Motorsports Association and Radio Show Limited.
It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
The sights and sounds of race cars in nighttime running, I always find, Peter, intriguing. I think it was Ian McCarthy who explained to me why race cars sound different at night. I'd always thought they did, and he explained to me about the density of air, which is why they do.
Yeah, I think maybe you've got, what is it, the magician's best trick is an impressionable audience. Maybe when you've got a bunch of sleepy, slightly inebriated race fans, the cars sound fantastic then, possibly, but maybe tired commentators as well has a similar effect. I'm not sure, but absolutely, no, I think it is wonderful when you stand at the side of the track. It's one of the best things in the world. 3 o'clock in the morning, stand at the side of the track and you watch this battle raging on as hard as it would do in the daylight as well. Now, I'm pleased to say I've opened up my can of Scottish Go Faster juice. The Iron Brew has been opened.
So was it you that provided the Iron Brew for Ryan DL, was
yes.
it?
Yeah,
I
yes.
thought it would be.
Yes. Uh-huh. I liked Kyle Tilley's idea of how they would split the can and mix it.
I did a whole sampling campaign in Edinburgh and across Scotland about Iron Brew with various whiskies when I was working up there. Just had an off, by the way, for the number 18. They've had an eventful race already, haven't they? That's the Era Motorsport car. That was at the west end of the infield at the horseshoe there. It has continued, so hopefully, I say no harm, no foul in the widest sense of that. Not seeing any reports of damage for that car.
Yeah, when you have to give a lot of respect to Dwight Merriman. Of course, had a pretty big shunt earlier on in the race, quite early in the race actually.
Yeah.
But luckily the damage was repairable. Unluckily, it took a long time to get the car back and get back going again. But it's very easy when you have a big shunt to just think, no, that's enough for today. But Dwight's just got back up on the horse. He's got back behind the wheel and clicking in lots of laps. And that's exactly what to do, and good for him.
To take another report from the pit lane, Andrew Marriott is down there.
Yeah, expecting the 81 Dragon Speed car to come in any moment. And John, just to finish off on the royalty or that story, if the Austro-Hungarian Empire hadn't collapsed on 200 years ago, Ferdinand would have been an Archduke. That would have been his title, the Archduke. And I believe he's still known as an honorary Archduke. He's a great guy, actually, because he's related by marriage to an old friend, Jamie Campbell Walter.
I think Jamie Campbell Walter is his manager, isn't he? I'm sure.
Yeah.
As well, looks after with, I think it's Bullet Sport Management is the name of the company. So in good hands there is Ferdy, and he's driving very well. He also has a fantastic charity initiative called, as well. It's effectively to have a positive ecological impact of racing. So they put money back into rainforests in Ecuador. So we have a problem for the 81.
That's the Dragon Speed car.
Devlin DeFrancesco has brought that car behind the wheel. They put fuel in it.
The driver tried to leave the pits while the fuel hose was still in. It very quickly reacted and stopped the car again, but it was all a bit of a drama down at Dragon Speed. No fresh tyres on that. We've got the 96 Turner BMW, which has just overshot its marks here, and now it's been pushed back. So continuing dramas for basically all the BMWs, I think.
Yeah, it's been a difficult day for the Munich factory, and of course the Turner outfit is so loyal to the BMW factory.
It's drive fast, act faster.
That's it, yes.
Carbon neutral racing. When he was racing with the the Coxes at Algarve Pro. They did an awful lot, they including special fibres in their team kit. They took smaller trucks and fewer of them around Europe and the Rainforest Initiative, and he's carrying that on through his new teams. So it's Drive Fast, Act Faster. And with the advent, of course, in the WEC this coming season, 2022, of fuel from Total, which is not from oil and hydrocarbons, it's actually made from the waste from wine production. Somebody said it's wine waste, and I said, I don't waste any wine.
No, never, no.
Tim Creel, Midweek Motorsport, said, hang on a minute, is that like the woman who at the end of the party goes around, or the bloke, and tips everything into their glass? Is that what you're talking about?
Minesweeper.
Apparently not. It's actually the waste from pressing the wine. In the pit lane now, Peter?
Yeah, Alexander Rossi staying aboard the number 10 Wayne Taylor Racing Acura. And they're getting a bit of fuel. And John, you got a chance to chat to the Winter the Racing guys a couple of nights ago.
Yeah, at the preview over at One Daytona, they're just checking the front end of that car. The Acuras do like to be right on the rev limiter before they drop the clutch. It's not a question of building the revs up there. They are on the rev limiter. It's popping and banging like a WRC car before 3-2-1 go. And then they're straight on the rev limiter as if they're worried about whether it will stall. Good pit stop, though, from Wayne Taylor Racing. Meantime, Andrew has got a victim for an interview down in the pit lane.
Yeah, I got a victim. It was one Formula 2 races quite recently, Luca Giotto. Luca, I think of you more as a Formula 2 racer. How are you enjoying racing sports cars at Daytona?
Yeah, it's a great. Of course, it's a new thing for me, but so far I'm enjoying it. I just had my first stint, and driving in the night is incredible. It's a great race. Still a long way to go, but finger crossed, everything will go to plan.
Yeah, you're in one of the G-Drive cars, of course, and a big battle going on in LMP2 car. I think you were leading it for a while.
Yeah, we were leading after the last restart, and then I got a bit of... I was not in the right place with the slower cars, and the car behind just... came back and overtook us, but we were still there, pace was good, so yeah, we'll see.
Are you staying with this team for the season, Luca?
Yeah, that's the goal.
Thanks very much.
And the pit stop for Alexander Rossi included tear-offs from the headlights there, Peter.
Yeah, it was. I actually thought it was a little bit of a NASCAR trick with the strips at the front of the car, but no, that's it. Just every little detail thought of at Wayne Taylor Racing. Interestingly, Alexander Rossi's first part of his outlap, basically turning into the International Horseshoe, which is the first kind of major corner you come to. Well, it is the first corner you come to when you come out of the pits. And it was almost like the bit we've all had that experience when you go to turn into a corner on ice and the car just goes straight forward even though your hands are completely crossed over. That was effectively what it looked like there for Alexander Rossi. So we're not into the coldest part of the night yet.
That's very true. It's not going to be the coldest part. I think it's about sort of 6 or 7 in the morning, which is kind of surprising a little bit. But you know, in these cold temperatures, when the drivers leave the pit lane, they have got to be really careful, as number 5 car has just come out of the pits, not to overuse those tyres or Tristan abuse Vautier, those tyres until they're fully up to temperature, which is exactly what Tristan Vautier has done there by sliding off the road in car number 5.
Am I right in saying, Jeremy, that Tom Blomqvist in the lead of the race for Mayer-Shank Racing should be in this time or next time? Yeah. Okay,
well,
that's fine.
I think there'll be a lot of warning going to the other teams because Tristan Vautier, it's like he's on ice there.
He's done a really good job on and off the brakes. No ABS, but he's effectively making ABS. It's a braking technique called cadence braking. You can cadence steer as well. On and off the brake pedal, and you're feeling for when the tyres lock, then come straight off, lock, then come straight off. You can do that with steering as well. Put a bit of lock on. Oh, I'm getting understeer, push, straighten up and go again. Normally, as you say, Peter, in ice and snow driving, but that's how cold it is at the moment for the guys out there. No tyres, no tyre warmers allowed. Did they have a bit of trouble getting the windscreen film off there as they were filming? As they were filling with fuel?
Not sure. Maybe. Maybe they just left it. But yeah, it basically it shows that the Michelin tyre is just a fantastic tyre. All the drivers and teams say so. But we are really put, and actually Michelin, though, this tyre is being put into the absolute extreme of capability, and that's really a big part of why the tyre manufacturer will be involved in motorsport, to really test the limits of what a tyre can do. In fact, I've actually just put some new Michelin tyres on our little Skoda Fabia, Jeffrey, at home, and that they're a winter tyre but can perform in the summer, so the window of what a tyre can do.
Is that cross climate?
Yes.
Oh, cross climate and cross climate plus are brilliant.
Yeah.
Alpine are the ones for full snow, but cross climate and cross climate plus are absolutely phenomenal. I've got Cross Climate Plus on our Ibiza station wagon. Quick pit stop, full service for Mareschank Racing. Number 60, that was brought in by Tom Blomqvist. He gives up the lead to Alex Palou. And in the pit lane, John Doonan doing some VIP pit tours at the moment, and Andrew Marriott is stopping him doing his work. Andrew.
Well, John was just striding down the pit, so I thought we'd have a quick word with John. Interviewed you so many times when you were at Master, John, but you're right in the middle of this. I mean, you're not going to bed.
Yeah, Andrew, it's amazing to see what we saw this afternoon with such a massive crowd here for the 60th running of this great Rolex 24. Huge field. Amazing that we had 61 cars take the green flag, and darn near all of them still running. The racing and the quality of driving so far has been just tremendous. I think it's a testament to all the teams and drivers up and down the pit lane here, and darn near well over halfway to go yet. So really excited about the momentum for our sport of endurance sports car racing, and can't wait to see what the finish looks like in the morning.
Yeah, it's just a fantastic competition, isn't it? All the way down, there are different classes. Terrific stuff.
Yeah, I think we were super excited about the potential of this GTD Pro and GTD format. It's proven out in the car count, and I think given the fact the same balance of performance, the same tire across both classes, it's proven to make those restarts pretty exciting, huh?
Thanks very much, John. He's off doing more of the VIP stuff.
Yeah, actually running pit tours in the late evening hours, coming up to the witching hour, and we'll head into Sunday morning in, well, actually right now. There's one of our Porsche keys to the races. The key points in terms of breaking this race up into manageable chunks: you get to the dark, you get to midnight, you get to dawn, you get to noon, and then it's the run to the finish. When are the next Michelin Endurance Championship, Endurance Cup points awarded, Jeremy?
Halfway.
Right, okay. So we've got an hour and 40 minutes for halfway, and then is it at 18 hours as well?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So we've got a qualifying race to go. Sprint to the next round of points for the Michelin.
It's a good way to look at it, Peter.
Insurance Cup.
No, that's a good way to look at it, because that, you know, that's what you're going for this year, that's what your tactics have to be, isn't it?
Well, look at the last year's Michelin Endurance Cup champions in the GTD category, the 16 car Wright Motorsports Porsche. They didn't win any of the big endurance races, but they scored the points when they need to, and they won the championship for the endurance races as well. A big lockup for the 68, I think.
The Algar Pro Racing J-Drive car.
Yes. Into that one as the 01 Cadillac of Alex Palou sleeps by, as the very hard-working Corvette Racing mechanics under the blankets just catching a bit of shut-eye, because they've been worked very hard to get those two cars running again, and they've got their cozy overalls on.
It was Ed
Doing
Jones.
A great job, boys.
Ed Jones, by the way, in that number 68 G-Drive car. Andrew is picking off the drivers as they get out of the car before they disappear. We've got a small window for this because of the weather. Andrew is with Jose Maria Lopez.
I've got Lopez here with me. Just a quick coffee is needed, I think, after that.
I was very happy with my three stints. Always hard, but yeah, I managed to just stay there in contact. I felt comfortable. And the good thing is that the car went back just to pace. We had a contact this afternoon and we damaged a lot of the floor. So that took us a few stints to get it back. And finally, yeah, we managed to change the front end and the rear end. And now the car is good. So yeah, it's a long way. We still have to deal with everything.
Of course, you're a world champion with Toyota. How does this compare with the WEC event? It's longer anyway.
Yeah, it's a long night, different car, but really enjoying it. I missed a little bit this racing, you know. It feels like a flat-out race all the time, fighting with other cars, which, you know, we still don't have, unfortunately, on the World Championship. But, you know, hopefully next year and this year we will have some manufacturers coming as well and you guys also joining with some cars. And I think the World Championship is going to get very excited.
Now, you've just opened a very special tin of something. He's making a very special drink for himself. What's in that?
Just a recovery drink.
Special recovery drink. Oh, I thought you'd have nothing. I thought you'd have some special Argentine mate tea or something.
No, no. That's a normal recovery, yeah.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Andrew. Peter Mackay stepping out for some well-earned rest in his he does love a nice SUV, does Peter, so he's down to his Forerunner, which is a four sleeper tonight. He's flattened all the seats in that one. Been a nice run this, Jeremy, in terms of what we're seeing. I know we've had a rather more yellows than you and I would like to see. We like long green flag. We've had a few of them. What, 52 laps under yellow? Eight yellows for over 3 hours already, but it, in some ways, because of when they've fallen, almost doesn't seem to have affected the race too badly.
3 hours?
Yeah, apparently. Let me just check that again. Maybe I was reading the wrong line. 3 hours and 5 minutes, apparently, for the eight. So 21 minutes, 32 minutes, followed rather rapidly by 24 minutes, 20 minutes, 27 minutes, 25 minutes, 16 minutes, and 21 minutes. So there you go. I know what you mean, and I did this. It doesn't seem like that, and doesn't really affect the race too much. It sort of came from, in many cases, at the end of stints or near the end of stints for people. There was that long one for the big clear up. But what it's done is it's got most of the lead cars in the classes on similar stints and fuel mileage at the moment. At IMSA Radio, by the way, if you want to get to us here in the Haggerty Global broadcast booth with 13 and a half hours to go.
With that pit stop sequence just completed now a couple of laps ago, we've had our 26th lead change, I reckon. Alexander Rossi back into the lead of the race for the Konica Minolta Acura team. Alex Palou, the reigning NTT IndyCar champion, at the wheel now of the second place car, the Cadillac of Cadillac Racing and Chip Ganassi's team, splitting the two Acuras because number 60 car of Elio Castroneves, last year's Indianapolis 500 champion, is in third
That's
place.
That's very cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
You've got a seven championship winning Cup driver in this. You've got the IndyCar field, which is deep, and Alexander Rossi as well, obviously not a champion. That's something I know that he wants to put right. You've got world champions from the world FIA World Endurance Championship, Le Mans winners in class, and overall, this, I mean, by any criteria, this is a solid field.
It's fantastic.
And in every car, the drivers are so good.
To have those two champions at the front, well, you know, Rossi, Palou and Castroneves, all IndyCar champions. Well, no, Rossi hasn't, of course, yet, but the Indy 500 winner he is. And, of course, Elio Castroneves last year won both this race and the Indy 500. And he's now tried to win this race for Meyer Shank, having been part of the winning team last year for the Konica Minolta Acura team.
The way that this race is panning out, I think we're going to be on the edge of our seats for quite some time. In LMP2, it's high-class racing with Fabio Scherer ahead of Ferdinand Habsburg. For Tower Motorsport, they're separated by under 20 seconds. LMP3, Malthy Jacobson for Sean Creech Motorsport has about, again, 30 seconds on Michael Cooper for Riley Motorsport, number 74 car to the orange and blue car. Lars Kern right up there as well in fourth position in the Duke, and just a lap off the lead, unfortunately, for him. GTD Pro, Alessandro Pergidi for Ricci. How good is it to see Giuseppe Ricci's Ferrari 488 GT3, the Ferrari of Houston car, leading the category from Felipe Nasr for Pfaff Motorsport at, 10 and a half seconds. And then 5 seconds further back, KCMG. Good run for them in their first outing here at Daytona in the Porsche. That's break off from our rundown. I'll just tell you, Nicholas Nielsen is leading GTD for EF Corsa by about 8 seconds from the Mercedes of Gilbert Kothoff Motorsport and Mike Skeen. But Andrew's got Tom Blomqvist just out of his racing car, Andrew.
Just out of the 60 Meyer Shank car, yes. Found a very good run. It's so tight, isn't it, Tom?
Yeah, it's crazy tight out there. You know, the way the yellow's falling and the style of racing, I mean, you're literally nose to tail from start to finish. It's unbelievable. You know, I'm not really used to that style of racing, so it's definitely getting a bit of used to, but I'm having so much fun. You know, the car's not bad, car's quick. You know, there's a lot of other quick cars out there. You know, the whole DPI class is so close. Everyone's top level drivers and top teams, so the competition is seriously fierce, so we just have to bring our A game and make sure we make no mistakes. There's still a long, long way to go, and anything can happen.
Thanks very much. I think it's an accident, so I'll have to leave it and catch up with you later.
High class racing at turn one, and that's a big damage accident. All of the rear end of that car, and it's been one of the stars of the show, really, the red, white, and black machine. They've had issues in the latter part of the race, but it's rear suspension damage, rear bodywork damage, and that car, which had been leading LMP2, Fabio Scherer, high class racing, safety car is scrambled, and it's a puncture to the left rear of that car. Scherer, whilst in the lead of the race, he's trying to get back, he's in front of the safety car here. So where was Scott Huffaker for PR1 Matheson? Was 10 seconds behind. Now, he's in front of the safety car, and he'd hit the wall pretty hard at turn one. There's a set of tyres that are placed specifically to try and stop cars going all the way through turn one to turn six, and they beef that up in the race. Left front puncture, right rear puncture, bodywork off, throwing all kinds of rubbish onto the circuit. He's gone up onto the high banks at turn seven, which I'm not sure was a good idea. Get in on the apron, that's what he's done now. But this has thrown that category, LMP2, Jeremy, wide open again. Ferdinand has gone through. Ferdy has gone through and now leads the race. And Scott Huffaker is going to go through. No, it's Devin DeFrancesco who's gone through in second. And it'll be Scott Huffaker in third. So Scherer has already dropped from the lead to fourth position.
Yeah, so DeFrancesco has overtaken Huffaker, I think, actually on that lap.
Correct.
So that's interesting. Wonder why. Let's have a look here, see if we can see what happened.
Just came in way too hot. Round the outside.
Yeah.
And hit the tyre barrier. Thank goodness the tyre barrier is there. Otherwise, he'd rejoin at turn six. Huge yeah. piece of debut. A debris coming off the right rear tyre carcass.
Yeah, but it looked like that tyre coming apart was effect, not cause, didn't it? That's what it looked like.
Yeah, hard to say. We had a very similar accident, didn't we, with the number 10, Conington Minolta accident. Who was at the wheel of that? It was Will, wasn't it, who was at the wheel of that at the time. And he said, I didn't know what happened. I really can't explain it. And that car ended up with a flat tyre as well. But we thought that was from the flat spot from him getting on the Angus. Oh, that car's really badly damaged. He's done both ends of that.
Yeah.
Left rear corner, right front corner. He's got a broken toe link on the back, at least one. He's got more rear steer than... a dumper truck at the moment, not helped by the fact that the left rear tyre carcass is hanging on by its fingernails. All kinds of carbon fibre coming off that. It comes out of the Le Mans chicane. Front right looks a little better. That's an normally immaculately turned out car, the High Class Racing, in a very fetching red and white colour scheme. Diffuser is up at a jaunty angle, rather 45 degrees, so he's wiped the front right and he's wiped off the whole of the back of that car. Just lost it under braking coming through into turn one on the transition from the banking to the flats. And with 13 and a half hours to go, we are back into full course yellow for what is our ninth intervention by the BMW M3 competition. We've got the safety crews already down at turn one picking up the bits of bodywork. Make a nice collage on the wall of somebody's den, that, wouldn't it, really? I suspect they'll take that back to the team just in case it's any use. The tyre barriers certainly doing their job. Very clear indication from where we're looking down of four locked Michelins. And the car sliding sideways into that barrier. So at the front of the field, Jeremy, again, Alexander Rossi's done round about half his fuel stint. It's about a third of the fuel stint for the Cadillac of Alex Palou. Same sort of amount for Elio Castroneves in the Mayershank Acura. Little bit more for the Ally Cadillac of Mike Rockenfeller. Tristan Fortier, 10 laps, that's halfway through. Nick, give or take, same for Tristan Nunez. And Earl Bamber on 8 laps. They're all going to come in again, aren't they? The leaders, yeah. I think you kind of have to. If the leader comes in, you've got to come in.
Yeah, I would think so.
That's a very badly damaged car.
Yeah, the last car to pit was a 0-1. It's currently running in second position, certainly a little bit less fuel than the other guys, but that one only done 4 laps since its pit stop. The number 10 car, which leads the race, that'll certainly be in.
Which car's only done 4 laps?
Number
01. I've got him as 7. Bizarre. Oh, and I've now got my foot caught.
Oh, well, sorry. Well, no, we've had a lap or two under caution.
Yes, fair point. Yes. Racing laps, Jeremy. Yes, yeah. You're absolutely right. So, some more for the carbon fibre scrap bin. And Andrew is down at High Class Racing. Doesn't look good there, Andrew. A lot of bodywork damage, but worse than that, there looks to be suspension damage at the rear as well.
Yeah, I'm just getting round the back here. They've taken the rear deck off. I'm looking at the right rear suspension. That looks okay, and so does the left rear. they're putting a new nose on it. Maybe this is a bit more cosmetic than we thought, actually, John. Just looking around the car, new front nose is already on. There's quite a bit of damage down the side pod. They're just putting, just about putting a new deck on it. They've got new tyres on it. John, I think they might have got away with it.
Really?
Really.
It was doing all kinds of weird rear steering.
They're just cutting off some of the bodywork now on the right-hand rear side. And all the suspension, there's none of the tow links, so they're definitely okay.
Right.
And the rear bodywork is going, this is amazing.
But maybe it was just the tyre moving around.
I think it must have been, John.
Yeah,
I think it must have been.
Rim. Yeah, all right, Andrew.
Yeah, the Danes are going to it. And we've got a new rear wing going on. Yeah, I think you're going to see this car go out maybe in the next minute or two.
Unbelievable. And the eight arms were all sorted as well, apparently. So, right,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Wow. You normally see the kinks in those. That is a very strong car then, as Jeremy Shaw says. That was a big impact there. That's a high-speed turning with just under 13 and a half hours to go. Steve Tarrant. Hello, Steve. How are you, fella? Oh, well done for staying up for this time of night. Was it 5 o'clock in the morning in the UK? Says, quick question on from the onboard on one of the DPIs. I'm seeing a cylinder-shaped item to the right that looks like a Coke can or a coffee mug has been left in the car, but it doesn't blow off. What is it, please? I think that's the external camera mounting. Some of these cars have more than one on boards. Some of them are on the roof, some of them are inside. We've also got some movable inside cameras as well in the last few races here in IMSA. I think that one in the front is that. You'll also see, as in the number 4 Corvette, into the middle there appears to be two little pea shooters sticking out. Those are pitot tubes, measure air pressure resistance. They have them on aircraft as well to give you a very accurate reading of what you're doing going forward. Obviously, direction of wind will play a part on that. Quick update from Andrew from High Class Racing. Don't tell me it's gone out, it's gone out, Andrew.
John, I'm standing where it was. I'm on the concrete. It's gone.
That's extraordinary.
And lots of other activity, though. I've got to get out of the way here. I've got to run because I've got the 16 coming in right behind me. Yeah, a lot of LMP2 cars in here. I'm just heading down to G-Drive because I saw the rear deck off that. But that seems to be going back on the racetrack as well. So give me a minute, Tim, and we'll give you an update on all that.
It's dropped down to 7th position, High Class Racing. But I think it's dropped off the lead lap, Jeremy, hasn't it? The Fabio Scherer car.
Yeah,
from first then down to seventh, and the first car off the lead lap by my reckoning in LMP2. It looks absolutely immaculate. They are having a laugh. There was a big shark bite out of the rear part of the fairing there on the just in front of the right rear wheel. Well, you've got to see it. These Orica's, you to Shawneck, main base at Circuit Paul Ricard in the south of France. They make these cars strong, but they also make them serviceable. He really understands endurance racing, and that's why he's worked with so many manufacturers down through the years. Now, the pits were open for LMP and GT whilst we were watching that, so let's take an update from Andrew.
Yeah, a little bit surprised. The John Bennett, George Kurtz, Colin Brown, Nick Johnson car is actually having a front rotor change. Now, that's seen the 54 car, that is. So I'm surprised at that change in the front rotor so early. So maybe they did have a problem. I'll try and find out if that was scheduled.
Now, Andrew, they have to make a mandatory pit stop in the P2s anytime they can make it. In the P3s, excuse me, thank you, John. Before the 22-hour mark in the race. And, yeah, we're pretty close to halfway, so that's pretty much an ideal time to make
somebody
that change.
Did one
we
earlier
saw
on, didn't
the
it?
74 yeah. car made its change after, I think, about 8 hours.
Remembered.
I think it was. That's the car that won here last year and went on to win the season-long championship as well. They swept the board last season. They made their stop a long, long time ago. So, but it is something that has to be done by all of the LMP3 cars, and it's a minimum pit stop time of 4 minutes to do that. So, whereas the pro teams can do it a lot quicker than that, we're seeing it on the recent Competizione Ferrari in GTD Pro as well. That car also changing its brakes under caution. Of course, is a perfect time to do it. In the pro classes, they're not going to lose a lap. In the AM classes, i.e. LMP3, you are going to lose a lap because it's a mandatory 4 minutes. And the reason for that is, these are supposed to be teams that are just learning the craft of endurance racing, although you can't really classify Riley Motorsports as that for sure. But they don't want the teams spending a massive amount of money to try and make a pit stop more quickly than everybody else. So they're just trying to keep a level playing field. And I think it's a really smart move. And you have to make it at some place, at some stage during a race. And
that's come down from last year, hasn't it, that time? The time has come down from last year.
Indeed, yeah. Last year it was a minimum 8 minute pit stop.
I'd forgotten about
that. This year
it's
down to four. They've figured out that you didn't need that much time, but safety again is the number one factor here. So they wanted to make sure last year that there was no and cost. No rushing involved, and even under yellow you'll lose a lap here, but it's everybody is on the same footing there in LMP3.
Andrew?
Yeah, there's a problem for the 38 car down here, the performance tech motorsport car. Mechanics have been working on the cockpit, something in the cockpit. Can't quite see what they're doing at the moment, but they've now got the rear deck off. I'm going to try and poke my head in and see what the guy's working on. Looks like the ECU, maybe. And it's Garrett Grist, the young Canadian who used to be in Indy Lights and was quite successful in that. He's still at the wheel, and now people sort of pushing wires and connections together.
Don't like the sound of that.
That's not good. That's a shame.
I'll try and dive in and find out what the problem is from Performance Tech, but as I say, Grist is still sitting in the car.
Yeah, they've had quite a long stop. That's a shame. They had a really good run going there. And John, you'll be happy to know this. We've got another lead change here. It's the 27th in this race. By virtue of not making a pit stop during this caution period, the number 31 Cadillac leads the race. That means now all seven DPI cars have led this race. Tristan Nunez is at the wheel of that wheel and engineering Cadillac right now.
Yeah, bingo. We've had the full house. Excellent. I cannot believe the number 20 High Class Racing cruising around, all the bodywork matching. It doesn't even look that different in terms of clean or dirty. It went back. It looked like it'd been attacked by a shoal of piranhas. Andrew, not good news for the car that you're next to. Where are you and what's happening?
Yeah, I was just reporting on that 38 Garrett Grist still at the wheel, but the car has been pushed down the pit lane backwards and it's going to go behind the wall, so they can't sort it out here. Amusing little thing though for them, over their pit, the number 38 car, they like the pink colour, is a pink flamingo, a little model of a pink flamingo, which is another first for me, seeing that in the pits.
I do like the attitude of some of the teams. If you're going to be up for... See, it's not really a 24-hour race. It's flag to flag, it's a 24-hour race. But you're up at 8 o'clock in the morning, so you're adding another 7, possibly 8 hours onto the top of that. So really, you're talking 32, 34, 36 hours in terms of getting up in the morning. Probably add another couple of hours on at night, maybe more. So you're probably looking at 42 hours by the time it all gets wrapped up and you get back to your hotel after a celebratory glass of water with your teammates, or a consoling glass of iced water.
Is Alex Blow still at the wheel of number 01 car?
Yes, he's super glued himself in there. Jeremy, he's decided he's not getting out.
Yeah, well over three, he's done 3 hours, I reckon.
Well,
I think he got in that car at 7:35 hours into the race. We're now 10 and a half into the race.
Let me skim back and see what the computer says.
It's getting a bit marginal, isn't it?
My goodness, hang on. He took over from Scott Dixon.
Indeed.
At
7:35 in the race on lap 236.
Well, that's extraordinary, isn't it?
What's the rule? 4 hours.
Four
and
in
six.
Any six.
I mean, they're going to have to get him out of that car because, if he stays out for another stint now, that's going to take him over 4 hours, isn't it? Am I missing something here?
2:18.
And by the way, the number 02 car did not pit when the other ones did. Stayed out, got its lap back. So now we have once again all seven DPI cars having led the race on the lead lap. And there's a splash of fuel, hopefully nothing more than that, for the number 48 car of Mike Rockenfeller.
Cadillac car. Let's hear from Johnny Adam, Aston Martin Works driver, with Andrew.
Aston Works driver, as you say, but new at Magnus Racing. How are you coping with these crazy kids here?
Yeah, it's great fun. The team's brilliant fun, and we've been so unlucky so far. You know, we've just not had the rub of the green so far in the race, but we gained a couple of laps back there. Car feels okay. It's all pointing in the right direction, so a long way to go now, so we just have to stay out of trouble and get to the morning and see how we fare.
Johnny, of course, you had a couple of great wins at Le Mans. How does this race compare with that?
It's quite a different procedure. Obviously, the American rules and regs are quite different to how we race at Le Mans, but it's a special race, you know, and I think it'll be a sprint to the finish for the win. So, hopefully we're in the fight come the end.
Will you be with this team at Sebring?
No, not at the moment. It's just for Daytona at the moment. But, the team are new to Aston Martin Racing. They seem to enjoy the car, but if we can get a good result, that'll be great for them.
Excellent. Thanks, Johnny Adam.
3 hours and 10 minutes and counting for Alex Palou. So he might just get one more stint in, Jeremy, at under 40 minutes. But it's a bit tight. They don't want to have a full course yellow just before he has to come in, you know, 40 minutes time. That could be a little embarrassing. Ivan Chambers tweets at IMSA Radio, turns out I've got to eat my hat at 5:30, thanks to the miracle that is the number 20 making it back on track after shaking itself to bits.
Yeah, it is a couple of laps down, the number 20 car, after limping around slowly and taking on that service, but still to be still in the running, and you know, with still more than half the race remaining, to be only two laps down, you know, that shouldn't. If they have no further difficulties, no problem to get that back, most likely.
Yeah, well, I'm with Ed Jones. So we tend to forget that in your first Indy 500, Ed, you finished third overall. You're a rookie of the year.
Yeah, you know, it was really tough stints out there for me. When we went out, the car had some damage. And, you know, a lot of the time it's trying to just keep it out of the wall. So it was really tough. I was really far off the pace. But, you know, the guys are doing all they can to get us back out there. We just hopefully have fixed the issue for the next driver. So hopefully no more problems to end, and we can get back on the lead lap.
Now, are you British or are you an Emirati or are you both?
Well, I'm British, but I was born and raised in Dubai. I always lived there, so it's a bit of a mix. But, yeah.
Yeah, I saw you racing European Formula 3, though, I remember.
Yeah, exactly. I won that in 2013, and so it was a good season for me. But great to be back stateside and racing in the Rolex 24.
How are you enjoying working with Stuart Cox and the gang?
Yeah, it's just been difficult, you know. In practice, my pace has been super strong, one of the fastest guys out there, and just frustrating not being able to throw it in the race so far with the damage. So hopefully we've got it fixed and we can get going from the next time back in.
Are you likely to go back to the Indy 500? Obviously, you had that great result.
At some point, for sure, but I don't know if it will be this year, but we'll have to see.
Thanks very much, Ed.
Great to hear from Ed Jones down there with Andrew. We're getting ready to go back to Green Flag Racing with 10 minutes to go before we click off another hour, Jeremy, and
as we reported, if you are just joining us, we've now had all seven of the top flight cars in DPI leading this race. Tristan Nunes will lead the cars back to the line. Slow car going down towards the... Oh, no, sorry. It's an SUV on the infield. strange how perspective changes in the evening. Just saw some lights moving slowly. Thought it was somebody struggling coming out of the pit lane. Still a goodly number of spectators out there. You hardy people in the bleachers on the infield. A little bit quieter in the main grandstands now as the hospitality areas have been closed for a couple of hours or so. But as I run the binos around the infield, there's people still on the fence line in the bleachers on the exit of the International Horseshoe. It's about a quarter full down there, huddling together for warmth, I would think, the two little bleacher grandstands down there. And down at the kink, yeah, still a few hardy souls on the grandstand, the larger grandstand just before the kink and the one just after as well.
I love this time of the race.
Brilliant.
For me, it's the best part of the race. Midnight until 1 or 2 in the morning. Absolutely love it. The safety cars coming in. Just a quick note then, in GTD Pro, Felipe Nasr back in the lead for Pfaff Motorsports, car number 9. Similar Porsche for Patrick Pile, KCMG, second place, car number 2. The number 15, then the number 14 of the Lexus, behind the number 15 Mercedes, the Lexus number 14, Lamborghini number 63, Ferrari number 62, and Mercedes car number 97, all on the lead lap in GTD Pro. In GTD, as we get the green flag once again, and a side-by-side battle into turn one around the outside.
Oh! Whoa. That's a bit hairy for the number 60 of Helio Castroneves. He's done that every time on the restarts, Jeremy. He's demon on cold tyres, but even he couldn't keep the car on the track then. He may lose second position here, side-by-side with the number 10 of Alexander Rossi. Seems like no time at all that car was 2 laps off the lead. Smart work and a few full course yellows and they're back in the fight. It's still Tristan Nunes who leads from Helio Castroneves, Whelan Engineering Cadillac from MSR Acura, from Konica Minolta Acura. I'm indebted to Vincent Bruins who gave me a picture a moment or two ago of Nick Boulle spinning the hard point Porsche under yellow, but he got pointing in the right Boulle. In that car, and Nick got it pointing in the right direction very, very quickly, and we were able to go green. 47 penalty, hitting equipment, drive through. There's been a lot of mistakes.
Well, yeah, it's super tight down in the pit lane.
Now that is a fair point, Jeremy.
The number 47 car hit just about everything in any case, hasn't it? Quite frankly, that's the Settler Racing Ferrari. They've had a really torrid time in this race.
They've rebuilt it twice, haven't they? It's been behind the wall twice or three times.
Yeah, it's back in the race. I'm impressed.
6 minutes to go to completing another hour at IMSA Motorsport. Hello to everybody who's doing the long shifts. Early morning in the UK. Down the inside. 0-2. Earl Bamber throws it up the side of Tristan Vautier and gets that one done. Rossi all of a sudden down to fifth position. Nunes, Helio Castroneves, Vautier, Bamba, Alexander, Mike Rockenfeller, and Alex Palou thinking, maybe I don't need to be a part of this right now. He's just dropped to the back. More penalties. Pit lane speed violations as well. That'll be a drive through for... I saw it pop up. Where's it gone? What's the car number on that? Oh, 25. So that is the
Jeremy? The BMW again.
Yes, the darker of the two BMWs.
Oh, bunch of penalties, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. Just over 13 hours remaining.
So Tristan Tristan Nunez has managed to just about hold off all comers there in brilliant style. It was really classy. I mean, you're under attack there from the four-time Indianapolis 500 winner, defending race champion here, Elio Castroneves. He was going around the outside of you, but no, you've braked it exactly the right place. It's Elio that goes sailing wide. Tristan Nunez comes across then to complete that 331, still in the lead in that number 31 Whelan Engineering Cadillac.
In the GT categories, battle for the lead, Patrick Pele with Jack Hawksworth up his tailpipes, KCMG Porsche, Vassar Sullivan Lexus, numbers 2 and 14, the blue marker strips, easily recognisable on the run to the tri-oval. Now, who's that right ahead of the KCMG car? It must be one of the prototypes, the Andretti car, I think, as they go down into turn one. Is that the 36? No, it's not. It's one of the Müller Racing cars. I thought I saw a little more black on that car. And he's, in fact, holding up Patrick Pele, who's the leader. He's got to get down the inside here into the International Horseshoe. But he can't make that stick. He's compromised his line there. And here's a chance for Hawksworth in the Lexus. Once the prototype gets going, it corners very well with the additional downforce. Down to the far end, as the Turner BMW is back behind the wall. The battle for the lead is hotting up in GTD Pro. In the cool of the night, out towards turn six, 3 degrees Celsius in the air, 7 on the track. Oh, magnificent stuff. Hawksworth will be loving this, so will Pele.
Yeah.
Not even a half distance yet, Jeremy, you know.
No, it's brilliant, isn't it? So, leader at the restart there, Felipe Nasr is down into third position then behind Patrick Pele and Jack Hawksworth. What a great comeback has been for the number 14 car. They had that penalty earlier on assessed on Kyle Kirkwood right at the end of his stint. He made contact with another car and was assessed responsibility for that, had to come in and serve a drive-through penalty that dropped him for a little while, I think, off the lead lap. But they've come back, and that Lexus is fighting for the lead now with Patrick Pele.
It's brilliant to watch. Really, really is. KCMG, by the way, a word for them. I said it was a big group. KC Motor Group is what the MG stands for. Jeremy was mentioning about it being based in Hong Kong, but with their interests in many places. I met Paul a few years ago at one of the prologue events for WEC when they were racing there, and just a very genuine, enthusiastic motorsport fan, and prepared to promote his businesses through the medium of motorsport. Just a little double lift there through the kink. You heard the engine lap lap, a very Ayrton Senna of Jack Hawksworth. Senna love pumping the throttle just to try and get the car balanced. Well, that's why he was so good in a rally car as well.
Who?
Senna.
Yeah, mainly to keep the turbo spinning back in the day. I remember watching him at a Detroit on the streets there, that fabulous street
circuit. Back to the streets.
Exactly, I was going to say that. But there was a carousel corner just coming off the waterway, and watching that Lotus balance through there, bap, 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 with that, that was mega marvelous
car.
Lap there by Tristan Nunez, a couple of great laps, 34.7 and a 35.0 there for our race leader. He stretched out well all of a second and a third over Elio Castroneves. John,
I'm told that the PR1 Matheson Motorsports LMP2 car, which has been running the sharper end of the field, has gone off at turn six and is now behind the wall. But
which one?
Yes, Stephen Thomas in the PR1 Matheson car. That car off course, behind the wall, off course, or running slowly or stopped. I've had all three messages on the race control channel. Well, we're coming down to another race hour completed. Tristan Nunez has completed a brilliant restart and has pulled away to the tune of 1.4 seconds. In his Cadillac number 31 for Whelan Engineering, ahead of Helio Castroneves for Acura and MSR with Curb Agaginians number 60. Then it's a full course yellow Stephen Thomas resumed, so there was something going on down at turn five. But I've had the binos out down there, and I can't really see what the issue is. We'll try and pick that up. Let me run through the class leaders. LMP2, Tower Motorsport, the number 8, Ferdinand Habsburg. Ahead of Rinus VK for Racing Team Netherlands, number 29. The Jumbo car, Mikkel Jensen, the PR1 Matheson, the 52 car. In P3, Kai von Berlo with Riley in the 74. Ori Fadani for AWA. What a race they've had up and down. And then Malte Jakobsen for Sean Creech Motorsport, the 33 Stars and Stripes car. Patrick Pelé has the KCMG number 2 Porsche in the lead of GTD Pro by just half a second when the yellows came out from Jack Hawksmith and the Lexus RCF GT3 from Vassar Sullivan. That's the 14 car. And the number 9 Philippe Nasser driven Pfaff Motorsport Porsche is next up in that category. In the AM class, it is Mike Skeen leading for Gilbert Courthoff Motorsports Mercedes. Yeah. 3.6 seconds ahead of Zachary Robichon for Wright Motorsports Porsche and another Mercedes. Philip Ellis, Winwood have been there or thereabouts all the way through in the 57. A race hour has been completed. RS2, IMSA Radio live from trackside at Daytona International Speedway on www.imsaradio.com around the world. In the North American region, if you are so equipped, Sirius XM 202. And we've got sound and vision for those of you who have no TV coverage in your territory. That's on imsaradio.com if you click the live video tab or on imsa.tv. Another racing hour, once again, under yellow as we come back in a moment or two's time.